either that we're coming up with today, those suggestions that we need to track down to clarify the language in the rule, or does this fall into guidance? I know that I just sent these out to you guys all last night, so probably haven't had a chance to read through all of them. I'm happy to work through it however you guys suggest, so we can even allow you guys all to read through them briefly and then dive into the two questions. How do you guys prefer? Comment by comment? Okay.
You know, I wonder if you could, one of the things in going over it was, how did they come up with the current standards? I'm familiar with the standards previous to that because I was in, but the ones that we're discussing, like AA plus definitions of filtration and stuff like that, I'm not familiar with. So I'm just kind of wondering if anybody knew.
But I think they leaned heavily on California, guidance in EPA, EPA Reclaim Water Guidance. And Steve Pawlowski, you know Steve Pawlowski? Oh, okay, he is the one who actually put those drinking water standards together. Of course, it happened to be approved by management. But, more than that, I'm not sure.
I'm just not familiar.
So if you go back into, there is a link on DEQ's website on the lit review that Steve conducted that supports, it has additional language that supports the justification of the different water quality classes and the numeric criteria that are associated with those. I know that I've read through it before, but what I can do is I can send that link out to everyone if that's helpful.
What year was that done?
2001 is what I want to say. So again, just to reiterate, the first question is related to the 5 reclaimed water quality classes, trying to determine if these are satisfactory to ensure the safe use of recycled water for existing uses. The second one kind of launches into future uses, including potable reuse. So some of the suggestions we read through the comments suggest if there's an additional water quality class that we need to come up with or not, or if we need to reduce the number of water quality classes as well. So let's just go ahead and launch into the comments. I don't want to read them off.
I guess maybe the first way to do it is, does someone disagree that the 5 classes are not appropriate, or is there consensus in the 5 classes?
Can I ask what the difference was between A plus and A? When I looked at their
definition.
Okay, so that's the only difference, because both are suitable for food crop irrigation, from what I read. Okay, that's just a clarification.
The uses, there's no plus on any of them, it's just A, B, and C. So
there's an A plus.
Yeah, the plus is just indication.
Right. I mean, identification. Yeah. Okay.
That's more from the groundwater protection
standpoint.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I read through all the comments, and right? So the biggest one, really, and I'm going to call you out, Chuck, was you. And that was the relation of the use of recycled water on food crops.
Right.
Where there was a human consumption component.
Right. I interpret that as meaning food crops eaten raw.
Raw.
Right. Because I was trying to figure out how that came out as acceptable based on data on risk analysis and ensuring that the virus levels and parasite levels were within
the risk assessment guidelines EPA uses for drinking water is what we largely use for that. Historically, there was a 10-year database, you know, with the old standards because they required virus and parasite monitoring. And I have all that data. We wrote two papers on it over the years, which I think we put up on the website. And it indicated that, you know, that is not 100% guarantee at that time. At that time when that data was done, methods that were used are no longer used today, by the way. So, you know, it was largely enteroviruses. Today we do adenos and rheos and other groups of viruses when we do the analysis. And the protozoan parasite methods have changed dramatically because EPA requires it for surface waters. So I wasn't quite sure. And the other thing that got me was filtration. It's just a statement. It doesn't define. Is that disfiltration, sand filtration, mixed media filtration? Because at least in the terms of cryptosporidium, that makes a difference. Was it? So I wasn't sure if that needed, if filtration's in there, it probably should be defined of what type. You know, I'm not as familiar with, is this filtration fairly new? They use that in Tucson, but I wasn't sure. I haven't seen any data on its effectiveness against cryptosporidium. I assume it's better than mixed media filtration. I guess that was some of the concerns, is that the levels may be higher than thought. Only class A plus, when I read the regulation, requires some virus testing, at least initially, and then once a year. But there's nothing for A in there. And so that kind of made me wonder if that shouldn't be tested too, at least on some basis. I'm not into saying there should be routine monitoring, but because analytical methods have changed and the number of pathogens has grown quite a bit since these regulations were written, that might want to do some reconsideration of A and A plus. I don't have anything with the other classes. I didn't see anything where that would be. But it's a raw food crop. And then recreational wasn't defined to me. Is that swimming in it, or canoeing, or non-contact?
So it's full body contact.
Full body. And then you might want to take some reconsideration on that too, if it's full body. Because EPA has worked around risk assessments on that. EPA, at least the surface, I don't know if you've read the recent stuff on recreational stuff, they do allow risk assessment to be used. In other words, if you find viruses in the water, the risk assessment is acceptable to bathing. The other thing is, when you say recreational, is that what EPA accepts for E. coli currently? Or are you willing, because EPA is considering E. coliphage too. I don't know if that's necessary, but is recreational water, when your starting point is wastewater for A or A plus, is that acceptable for what EPA considers acceptable for recreational waters from varied sources? So that's just a question on my part. I'm not saying, but I think it might need some rethought, or at least some back of the envelope risk assessments to look at this.
In relation to the food crop, there are specifications on how the irrigation method for
the food
crop. So it cannot be sprayed irrigation. It has to be furrow or drip irrigation. So they're talking about minimizing the water product on the contact surface.
Dr. Posse, I think it was spray irrigation.
Is it?
Yeah. And then B gets restricted to flooding.
Spray ups that risk a lot. Yeah. And we've done that. We've published on that before. So that's a question I have on what if you're going to have, what's the level of viruses? And then it goes really what they kind of start. And historically, how much data do we have in Aridus Element? I mean, I have some data largely because of this CONSERV project that we're doing with the federal government to look at these, because we allow that water. What's the concentration? So.
So do any other states allow irrigation crops with
consumer? Well, California does in Monterey, but they go through RO membranes or ultrafiltration. So it used to be RO. I'm not sure what they're doing now in the Monterey here.
The term used in Arizona code is sprayed irrigation of orchard or food. Say vegetable
or
class A, but it also says open. But it said open to access landscape irrigation, but the spray irrigation is defined only for orchard and vineyard.
So we don't say we don't have words to say no. Crop, edible crop.
be a surface irrigation.
Well, vineyards would, there have been lawsuits over spray irrigation of wastewater hitting vineyards before in California, you know, because it wasn't up to class for vineyards.
Oh, sorry. Table started on the first page. Irrigation of food crop.
It just says food crop.
So basically open access irrigation.
The only reason I had that, I don't know that, I know that when you've gone to the denitrification processes and that the quality of the wastewater in terms of pathogens is far improved from what it used to be 20 years ago. I know that. Because the denitrification, Badenfeld particularly, results in much greater virus and pathogen removal. I know that. My question was, is it up to par for food crops in contact recreation?
Right. But if you think about current that we probably be discharged with surface water that will be used for irrigation of vegetable crops downstream.
Well, technically for the federal government, it means contact recreation, right?
Right. Which is not a virus.
But that's a bacterial standard. Yeah, and I think the feds didn't consider you starting with raw sewage, you know, I think. The differences. I think it takes some, my suggestion is maybe it takes a little bit of thought on that. Most of the, I'll give you an example. I got asked to review California regulations, and most of it was based on data from previous to 1996. And so there's been a big change. Analytical technology has had the last 15 years, 100 years previous. So it creates a lot of, maybe a little bit of rethought, I'd say, more than anything. The other thing is UV light is in there. We now know that adenoviruses are the most resistant to UV light. I know the feds have been challenged on, because you can meet the E. coli standard, what are you doing with the virus levels with UV light only for discharge? Because you can easily meet the E. coli standards with UV light, but the virus standards are tough for adenoviruses.
So, in light of EPA, our surface water rule, looking to modify from the E. coli to bacteriophage.
Well, I would say, we've done an extensive study for 2 years now at the Trace Rios and Agua Nueva, but they can easily meet any standard. They're down to 1 to 10 viruses, infected viruses per 10 ml, so maybe 1 to 100. So I don't think they would have much of it. They could do it probably. We've been monitoring them for 2 years. They usually maybe 10, max 100 coming out of it, like for 100 ml.
That's what they're doing.
So they're protected, but they're estimating that FOSS better predicts other viruses than bacteria. But are they talking about dropping E. coli completely?
No, they would keep that in there. It's probably be enough, because maybe the states make the regulations on those. Well, I guess they could get you on the discharge permit. But you guys write that, though.
Not more to me anymore.
Well, maybe not anymore. Okay. It can be considered as an option, as a better indicator. They could promote it as being a better indicator than the E. coli, I suppose. Yeah. That's about 5 years down the road, though, when I talk to them. You know, what they're going to do.
I was just going to say something up the cases we're using up for the discussion. Ferrocytic acid.
I,
I think. Yeah, I know, you know, ADQ has this sampling seven times looking for no viruses in 40 liters suggestion. I know some treatment systems in the state are about that, so that would be the only thing. I think more or less is with the current standards, I'm not sure about how routinely they're able to meet those standards. I think the treatment systems with denitrification are meeting it at least on some basis, but maybe not all the time, at least by the data that we collect.
Right, so if we were suggesting any revision, it wouldn't necessarily be modification of water quality classes.
No.
It would fall into monitoring requirements or.
You know, I always hate routine monitoring, because I'm not sure it's always worth the cost to the utility sometimes. Because these are not, we're not talking cheap tests here either. So that's
well,
what bothers
me. I think about where the burden would lie, right? On the utility. And then.
I think some type of testing on a regular basis that the ADEQ can assess over the longer term to see if these standards are adequate. The only other option I've ever been considering is if you're going to go to these, you have an environmental buffer like SAT or wetlands or something. Because to deal with the uncertainty.
Using A plus water for
irrigation.
Yeah.
So not a lot. I know I asked you that question recently. Irrigation of with A plus three water receivers. So permit wise, it's not many. At least direct permits.
Depends on the end user.
Yeah. Directly, there might be more. So there are irrigation districts who are receiving water and blending with different groundwater and water.
I was going to say, but you also have single family residents and some distribution systems like in Tucson. You have 700 families that irrigate gardens with Class A water. And just to one question you had earlier is. Class A and A plus do have to do the 407 and turn times. So it is the same.
I didn't see it when I read it. But
yeah, I was just double checked.
It is there. And terrified of the same standards from the
same. Yeah, I think aren't some families, my understanding, the homes are being supplied the same water.
Absolutely. Yeah, over 700 homes in Tucson system.
Yeah, they're told they could irrigate crops with it.
No, reclaimed water goes through the property as long as it's in that property and they use it within the Class A standards or free to use it for the law. Most of them have gardens.
So, will someone clarify that 407 is for fire hydrants? How many is it detect in 40 liters?
Yeah. It's zero for 40 liters from what the document I got from zero for 40 liters. I was just wondering where that came from, actually. That's 10 gallons, basically.
In the 407 last month, I think.
Seems like we're all in agreement about one car with a discussion related to it. Just have a common question around each water line.
Well, I couldn't find that.
You've also got people that could actually just haul water, too.
All right, so just to reiterate what Corinne just said, are we all on the same page that the current water quality classes are sufficient? There's no need for additional water quality classes or for standards for finding we're all comfortable with the way the school works currently?
I agree.
So that is a comment that came up that is being will be discussed and debated whether we require A and A plus as a starting point or we do not specify that. Is it the next set of questions?
Yeah.
So page 5 has recent water quality standards. Related to constituents, related to numerical limits, which is what we're talking about now, and then related to the frequency of testing. So again, this is what we're talking about currently. I'm going to offer out three of those comments.
E. coli is testing is done. Is that done for discharges now? Is E. coli, right? Mm-hmm. The fecal coliform was largely from California used coliforms, right? That's for potable reuse, I think. Yeah.
Actually, they can use either at this point.
Is it either one? I'll see you then. So I would go with E. coli, that's easier to eat.
Maybe if you don't know, E. coli has a replacement to the alpha for the last few.
Oh, okay. Yeah. E. coli is actually more stringent because there's more organisms involved in E. coli. But E. coli has always been able to relate it to the health effects of recreational users. Fecal coliforms have not, so in terms of protecting health. You know, on the coliforms, I'd hate to say anything until, because EPA is still chewing that over. It may be premature.
Well, and then the numerical limits.
I'm not sure it's going to be, at least based on Tres Rios and Agua de Way, but I don't think they're going to have a problem meeting coliforms. We've been monitoring them for a couple of years now. There does seem to be some relationship between them and the human virus. But it would seem premature right now. How would you come up with a standard? In the review that EPA did, there's only about 3 studies that found a relationship between coliforms and illness rates. There's far more that do with E. coli. So I think there has to be a lot more research for what would the number be. It would be the big issue.
Think E. coli would be a better indicator?
Right now there's a relationship. But a lot of people feel that the E. coliforms are more reflective of illness that potentially could occur besides what's observed. Because you're only looking at diarrhea there. But they're worried about hepatitis and other things. And so there's a lot of illnesses this virus is causing, meningitis, you name it. But that's not taken into the recreational standard. So that's why the first one would be more reflective of the virus load coming out. At least that's a tendency we're thinking of.
Or is it more reflective of what the end use of the water is?
Recreationally, right. It's for recreational use too. So I think that, and there was, you know, there's this study done in Chicago where they found a link between, or 2 studies now, between boating, when you get more ill if you're in sleep, or not just not contact.
The thing is, too, for, you know, you're doing daily testing on this stuff, and some of the cold products are, you know, long result times, and your water's going to be gone.
I got questions. Steve, what did you guys have to do for the snowmaking? What ended up being, you know, offhand?
Yeah, we just had meet aid, response aid, which is part of our
system. So you're using the FECO then, most likely?
We're using E. coli.
You're using E. coli. Yeah. So, well, that's one question, because by policy, I think ADQ has allowed E. coli to be a substitute for FECO. But it's not a rule. The rule says FECO. Yeah. And if we're focusing on the rules, maybe at least the first change is putting E. coli or FECO. What, depending on the end use or something.
Or we decide to go totally with E. coli.
Or just have E. coli, right. But from a rule perspective, that's one thing we can actually work on, update.
So.
Because I think Tucson's doing the same thing. I think Tucson switched to equal as well.
Scottsdale still uses equal. What are the people
limit? It's 23 and 100.
No, it's 200.
I'm sorry, 800, 200, 800 per feet.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh.
B and B plus.
Oh, no.
B,
yeah.
Plus,
oh,
B
and
is,
B plus.
B is 200.
Yeah, 23 non-detect per A.
Right.
200, 800 per feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 plus 50.
Okay, those are, you got that as SQL samples? Because when the 407, it goes down to 200.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, we gotta get this right. I think the 23 grade area is
plus.
Single sample of 800 would be, or 407, that's the average, plus 200.
C is 1,000, 4,000.
Yeah, for definitely. Yeah. So C is 1,000 and 4,000.
And then what is the numeric for equal?
4,000 per single sample on C. 4,000.
You get you walking around. Right. There's a few. Yeah. E. coli is 15. And then 4.7 out of tech.
That's really, well, that's a lot.
That's what ours is. That's what our permit is.
That's the policy. That's a policy for permit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Still the 4.7.
Yeah. Well, 4.7 out of tech.
I mean, that's below recreation.
B. I don't know if there is one.
B and B.
I don't know if there is one for E. coli.
Equivalent for B and C.
Tucson is class A.
So I'm assuming if there is none, there's not been a question on B and E. coli.
I don't know if there's one.
Oh, there are. There, I just don't know what there is.
It's just the city's guess.
So, in summary, only the people in the room. E. coli has been allowed. So, do we want to add the E. coli in the room?
Yeah.
As opposed to letting the department do it by policy, you gotta do it this way.
And there, it would be beneficial to allow flexibility that you could do. For an agreement that they're equally protected of public health.
Or allow flexibility to ADU depending on what the maximum end use is of that water. If it's a recreational problem, maybe I mean, it's vehicle.
The vehicle coliform 23 is really low. Because that's what they use for E. coli in surface water. So. Mm-hmm. They used to allow 200, remember, for recreational water. Vehicle coliform discharges. It's still in surface water.
That's what I think.
So that's real conservative, I think, 100 and something for surface water.
Would be better with this E. coli than extreme. Yeah, so E. coli is a broader range, right? You're detecting the likelihood of detecting a higher probability. You would say that E. coli is more stringent.
You have less issues with regrowth and fecal
can come from how they can regrow in some situations. E. coli is not usually.
So the other thing is that there's a big push method.
More related to illness rates. So that's why EPA looked at E. coli. Because it's easier to predict the probability of somebody getting ill sooner than that. Because they couldn't get a good correlation with fecal coliforms at all.
Good enough.
I mean, the only pushback you get is if utilities and if you're using people for PowerPoint, have a good handle on that. You'd be okay. Yeah.
Okay, so if you get more people, so we need to do that.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Heidi, how would, as a rule specialist, how would we write up an either or scenario? Could that be done?
I'm not sure yet, but I'm actually wondering if it's possible to have a broader view where you could say something like fecal coliform or equivalent, so that there would be more discretion that could be allowed to allow for future technology. I'm not a scientist to follow these conversations with, but if FOG would be, clean FOG would be an option in 5 years or so, and that would be a better option.
So we wouldn't have to rewrite it.
Yeah, rewrite it. But I mean, that's on the rules side, but looking at what is more technically appropriate, I mean, if E. coli is more protective of human health, then people shouldn't be allowed. So that's kind of a more
And we're just providing recommendations. They would still have to go through a formal stakeholder process and everything. So we can be a little aggressive on our recommendations and then fall out in the regular process.
It's reasonable, yeah. It's hot. Yeah. Whatever you think is best.
Mark, do you know how they
came up with the report?
Well, it's just the equivalent, right? That's what I was told.
I've never seen 15 before. 23 is what EPA recommends for surface water.
So we have our permit for E. coli.
15?
Yeah, E. coli.
And then it may very well take because it's a policy we may have been negotiating.
Certainly more conservative than 23.
I think there's some formula that they used. Okay, and they just took the people callable and applied it to that. And go, okay. That's what I don't know.
It's not in regulations from FOG. At this time. Okay. What about talks about the American women? are probably a people I've reviewed through the whole time. We have not talked about alternative breaks for the constituents. Besides the microbiology.
You know, the protozoa, I'm just not sure how effective, when you say filtration, that means for cryptosporidia. That the data we got, you know, back in the 80s and 90s indicate, you know, you could reduce the cryptosporidia down to levels in the 1-2 range, 4 or less for crypto per 40 liters, but there was a lot of variability. You know, the plants wouldn't meet it all the time. So how much variability are you willing to accept above a certain level? I guess that's what came out to me. But methodology for detecting cryptosporidia has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. So I can't necessarily relate that.
So how do you feel about humidity of the circuit for this?
Well, it didn't work too well in some outbreaks. Well, what about the turbidity in the swimming pool with all the outbreaks in Phoenix? What was the turbidity there?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a low because you have to meet a certain standard for turbidity in the pool. I think it's related to
the lowering too.
That I don't have that same thing, but
turbidity like that
says
like a turbidity says.
It may take, you know, I could look at some of the data and see what I could find.
Yeah.
What is it?
2 liters for classic.
See, cryptosporidium lowered the requirement for turbidity drinking water to, you know, the 0.5 range or less, you know, because. You remember in Milwaukee, it got through, and there are big outbreaks. So I'm not sure how protective turbidity of 2 is, so, or in removal of the cryptosporidium.
So that's 2 based on that 24-hour
average. Yeah, I know, well, we had 2 centers, significant cryptosporidium outbreaks in Phoenix and swimming pools. That's, you know, that's bad.
Well, I know utilities, some, would have a hard time being even lower than 2.
I think it's just a matter of saying what, maybe looking at what, how much we get through, what the risk. Now, maybe dish filters. The only data I have on Arizona are mixed media filters and sand filters from years ago. Maybe these dish filters are super better. I don't really know. What other types of filtration systems are used in Arizona?
We're using dish filters, and we also have some sand filters. We're using this filter.
See, I don't know how, I'd have to look at the literature. I'm not sure how effective this filter is.
Soil aquifer treatment.
Well, that's perfect. That takes care of it. Soil aquifer is ideal. That's just one gigantic filter.
I don't know if people even measure like that. And then pass that whole thing with the aren't
as filtered at all. The issue there is the resistance to the chlorine. So, if you're using chlorine, now if you have UV, that's a different story. They're very susceptible to UV light, but if you got chlorine in there, it becomes an issue. I just think it needs to be maybe rethought a little bit. I can look and see what I can come up with literature for. This filter is fairly common for wastewater now.
We're using them both for plants.
Majority of the water, yeah. And then the pressurized sand and the
we've got the sand filter to go for plants.
I tell you what, you give me a chance, I'll look up disc filters and see what they do for performance for crypto.
But the 0.5 cryptosporidium for drinking water is because it's drinking water. Mm-hmm. We're still talking about non direct consumption water. So do we need to change the 2?
Well, based on the swimming pool outbreaks, you have to look at what is the level where you're getting the trend. We can do a risk assessment on that.
But so the swimming pool outbreak, does it include water was clean going into the pool and when somebody sick going to the bathroom.
Yeah,
the
that's
pool,
not a control.
Right,
yeah.
It's a different pathway, right?
Yeah.
Is that really clear to make that comparison?
Unless we're going to use a replay water screen for buying.
Which I don't know if that we have any permission.
Yeah.
Right. It's not because the turbidity or the payment system failed in the pool because of something
rain. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you know, the trouble is getting all the water through the filter based on the number. It's really a rear end factor. The more rear ends you have in a pool, the more poop you have. We'll average maybe put some 10 gram in to give you a rough idea. You got 100 people, you got, you know, 10 grams.
As far as I know, we haven't had any outbreaks of snow, though. We have stopped full by the
But I think it's a matter of what's the limit should be for recreational waters. You're swimming. The thing is, with the crypto, if you're irrigating crops with it too, you got to think about that too, because that had caused outbreaks of food crops. So. I mean, the number, you mean we may be meeting the numbers already for those risk reduces. I just don't know.
It sounds like a
tell you what, let me make it easier. Let me do a literature review and then send it to everybody. Go through it, make a put all the papers together, make an assessment, and people can look at it to see if it makes any sense at all for doing that. I mean, these values may be met already, you just don't have any data to form a basis to on the current technology that's currently being used. Maybe much better, and maybe this the denitrification systems move a lot more cryptosporidium, and they certainly remove a lot more viruses, so maybe they're well below any needs, even with the filtration system.
So right now, in the water quality problem, E. coli, nitrogen, nothing. Is there any pressure to add anything additionally beyond those for our water quality problem?
Nope. Just a, because the assumption is they're already meeting the APP requirements, but they're going to also semi-alpha. Just
right.
Put that in.
We want to change the 407. We'd require at least 7 samples a week. We were doing 7 samples a week, but you know, I know a lot of facilities did this before, and I think we did 3. And then, you don't know if you're above the 23 or 15 if you're doing that.
Kind of segues into frequency, and it kind of segues into real-time monitoring. Is there any real-time monitoring that could reduce the 407, keep the 407 the same? I don't know.
Well, it's an incubation on E. coli. There's, I don't have any real-time monitoring on E. coli.
Okay.
Not for me, right?
Not for those.
Right, but if you are suggesting something else.
Full body contact. That's what your 23, well, EPA 23 E. coli is full body contact.
What about areas of
crops? Well, we have the, of course, there's an E. coli standard that suggests, oh, that, are they going to go through with that, the FDA, the US EPA? So that's basically the same as a recreational standard, isn't it?
Here's the
issue that when we're doing wastewater starting, it is the load is really heavy. when you're talking about surface waters, that's not, you're not starting with raw sewage. So the load of the pathogens is much heavier per concentration. So that's why the question, E. coli is easy to kill. I've tested UV light systems, particularly meeting the E. coli standard, which have tons of viruses in them, which EPA is still thinking about what that means, but it becomes an issue with that. I think it's more of a virus and parasite issue than a bacterial E. coli issue, because it's not reflective of starting with raw and plain water.
So, but do you feel that if the utility was meeting the E. coli standard, if we were supposed to shift the E. coli, that would still warrant some level of parasite testing?
I think so. If it's a full body contact recreation, I would agree with that test. Because we know we get outbreaks in swimming pools. I don't know what they're
doing. Turbidity would also not be a surrogate.
Turbidity, even at that level, I don't. I can only base it on drinking water. It wouldn't be for drinking water. So, but I hesitate to say it isn't. So. Yeah.
I was going to say, for class A or A plus, there's a lot of the full body contact recreational and the irrigation. There is no enteric virus. How does that fall? If I'm not a microbiologist, how does that fall? If there's zero enteric virus, okay. But if you have a process that removes enteric virus, what's the confidence that people are even like that?
The E. coli can be moved to zero, and you can still have quite a few viruses there.
But if the virus, but if the entire virus is zero, can you have?
Oh, then I'm not worried about anything.
Okay,
that's so hard to get rid of.
But then, how often when you get a scan, there's a virus in that thing, and then you're after turbidity, and then you have turbidity that are elevated, you have to go back to your other place. That's the trigger.
Yeah.
So turbidity up to trigger you.
I think if you're committed, you don't break everybody, it's once a year, isn't it?
Yeah, I have to go back and look at our, it's specific in your
The virus is currently written means you're allowing a certain 4 out of 7. What happens if it's 1,000 viruses per 100 ml? And you still only want 4 out of 7 positive set, not 1, 2, or 3. So you're allowing a heavy load to go through there at one time.
Yeah.
So issue, I think, might be some thought.
And nowhere in the language now is there anything related to preferred to our yet. Not like even initial.
I think it was largely because they put the word filtration in there, and that was supposed to take care of it. But you need a definition, maybe, of filtration. Maybe the only thing, I'm not saying test for parasites, I'm saying maybe better define filtration. A little bit more, this filtration maybe work perfectly, I don't really know.
And then we had an interpretation at one point that sand filtration wasn't even going to be considered.
Yeah, because you do get some good movements.
Filtration is currently defined as the treatment process that removes particulate matter from wastewater and passage through a porcelain medium.
You'll be asked about the
drinking water. You can't rely on particulate matter
Let me ask the question too, is when you backfilter these things, does this go back to the headworks? The outbreak in Carrollton, Georgia was caused by recirculating the backflush water directly back into the headworks, and then that caused the outbreak. Basically, they were concentrating the cryptosporidium and then throwing the concentrate back at the headworks, and it penetrated the whole system because the load was so heavy. And so that's why, the rule is you have to settle that and maybe disinfect it before it goes back to the networks.
So I don't know if that's an issue here or not in wastewater.
I'm guessing for A and A plus, you could have something tied to each of your disinvestment and your reporting, right? You have to report on that now. We have a very good handle on different disinvestments on
but I'm not sure how good CT time is, because I get enormous CT values for the utility that are way beyond, and I can still find viruses. So I'm not that I don't believe CT are a good tool. It's just, you know, you can destroy all the CT. I mean, all viruses with 6-7 log removal CT times 6-7. Yet I'm being reported CT times in the 50s and 100s, and I'm finding viruses coming through. So either, see, you have to remember, if you know CT, they were developed on laboratory studies of purified viruses, okay? And I'm not sure yet with the newer classes, you know, viruses that have been discovered, which are the tens of ones we tend to find, how well CT, how well you can measure CT at a wastewater treatment plant. I'm not doubting that the times I'm getting or the doses of chlorine, because those are reported, but I'm just puzzled as a microbiologist why they're so far off. And maybe I need to talk to some more engineers, but I think if you're dealing with highly purified water, CT works great, but I'm not sure I've reclaimed wastewater yet how well that works. So I'm not saying anything against CT, I can't explain all my data. So that's just an issue of how well, maybe I need to talk to more engineers.
Class A, where it's less water, we've fairly clean by the time they're applying the process.
Should have a completely less than two.
But when you're dealing with wastewater, let me ask that this is, we see, you know, particularly with the new denitrification, they only have to add maybe 3 or 4 milligrams per liter free chlorine, and then after 30 minutes, they still have 1 milligram per liter left. And I'm going, holy crap, that's a CT of 60. And then I can find a virus coming out of there. And I go, like, I can't believe it. So I'm just wondering if, because the system is so huge, there's cross mixing and it's not there long enough. But I just don't know. I'm just asking. I'm not an engineer.
Does that include the, I don't know how to say it, prions,
bryons? No, those are. Not an issue anyway.
Okay.
We've done a lot of studies.
Because I think those are.
You can tell by my mental ability, I did a lot of studies. We dealt with the prion issue a few years ago when it was a big issue. They don't do that. How about the type of filtration? You said you sand is excluded, right?
Well, at one point, that was an answer we gave to somebody, that's what I can say.
So we might want a better definition of, or does turbidity answer that question? I'm not an engineer. Okay.
We went after that because if they wanted to classify the two new plants as Class A without having to go filtration.
Right, I just can't remember if they got it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Or they built filtration at Roger Road, not at Ina. Because Roger supplied the Reed M1.
Right.
They could build filtration at Roger, so they still were selling. They could this. They could this filtration, I think. And I wouldn't move it again.
You know, I think a lot of times Arizona's unique is because a lot of students we discharge are fluid dominated or all of fluid. Unlike the guys back east, which are get this huge dilution usually in the surface waters, or even California get some dilution. So it's more problematic for us to deal with this because we aren't really reusing this directly for recreational food crop.
California.
Yeah.
But any viruses for reform money?
No.
I don't know. I mean, to me, going to Colo Park for 23 is really conservative. You might be overdoing it for these. I don't know, what do you think? Yeah. I mean, 23 photo points is not easy.
I mean, if this has been established, right? I feel like that's okay. We know this is a driver based on surface water.
Yeah.
Or we know where that value comes from. I don't know where this one.
We also value our zip fees for 126 and 575 based on.
Well, you're lowering the probability of people getting ill. Yeah. Usually, that 23 is that's an acceptability by EPA. What is it? 1 in 30 people or something with the 23?
8 cases of gastroenteritis
per 1,000. Okay, and so you're lowering that value even lower with that 15.
Or a kind of like a more residual?
That, the other group that's talking about, residual and distribution. I have no idea what you're saying. I looked at all the comments, half the group was in favor and the last was against, so I won't be depending on that. So what would be
It's 40 liters.
Yeah, it's 40, but for
the
majority, it would be 10 liters.
You know, I think it's always, because you're only requiring this once, and it's one sample and once a year. Just so you have the big, because the technology changes all the time. Was that correct?
I think it's monthly, yeah.
Oh, is it
originally thought it was an annual.
The virus,
oh, is it monthly? Is anybody doing that? For the virus?
Or we do have an intern on this.
So but that's only if they're not being there.
Oh, it's only if they're not here. Oh, I thought it was only for 7 times once in the month.
Or they don't have a chemical feed capability
to stand by. Then do you have a database you can look at?
We have a
database. Well, if you've been requiring monitoring, is there a database that can use that?
I don't believe that they have one.
Also, nobody's done it. Well, I know somebody's done it, but
the data's there, but I think
it's no problem. Okay. Well, Mike, if you hit what's working and what's not.
But the thought would be that if you met the entire fire,
what?
The zero and the
40 liters. Well, you would also need it, regular urea. No virus. No virus.
Oh, the reason I'm taking my hands, I don't have any data. I think so. I'll go back and test.
So four out of seven.
Correct. Four out of seven. How much
would
it run
for the engineering? It runs for surface water, $350 to $400.
Yeah. We paid $735 for the engineering. Well, that's $10.
There's not enough labs.
Right.
The other thing too is like with Krypton's yard, we have a real tough time getting water, certified water samples. There's just not enough labs for running right now.
Okay.
Unless there's a reason for it, you know, putting it in.
One foodborne outbreak I'm aware of is one drinking water outbreak.
Was it a foodborne outbreak? Of what type of water was used?
It was irrigation water. I can't remember if it was in Scandinavia, it was imported to Finland maybe, and it was produce imported from Europe. But they were able to trace it back to that. The other was among AIDS patients in France, if you remember, because they're very susceptible to microspirating. But that epidemiological study was argued a lot, so I'm not sure. But those are the two I know for certain. It's fairly resistant. It's more like Giardia resistance, but they're very small. There's a large number of them, too, 1,000 different microspirating. But Nobody's brought up that issue before for reclaimed water, so I don't know. But my feeling, I think if you deal with the let me meditate on that.
Well, I mean, like, now if you get ready to I mean, I guess I don't see it as a routine.
It doesn't seem to be a major threat. The road penetrate filters that Giardia in crypto can't, because it's just small. But it's about the resistance of Giardia to chlorine.
Is this a full body contact issue or a drinking water?
It's an irrigation issue. I don't have any data for that.
I say full body contact.
There's been an outbreak of food crops irrigation and the drinking water outbreak. That's the only two I know about. Yeah. They cause eye infections. Let me, you know what I'll do is I'll update, see what I can find out outbreaks at that vehicle's facility. EPA has not dealt with this. Well, I think their feeling is if you're dealing, if it's a disinfectant, if you take care of Giardia, you're okay with microsporidium. Yeah. And crypto is more resistant, though, than microsporidium.
But Giardia is more resistant
than crypto. Oh, than the bacteria, but yeah.
Right.
going to be opposed on 7 and 7, or is that not? Four, seven, seven, seven.
I think 7 and 7, right? Yeah, it would be a lot of additional.
It would be.
Reports.
We were already doing 7 and 7, that's why.
Well, I think a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 4 of 7 is the minimum requirement until they can only elect people. I believe it.
So the problem with 7 4 of 7 is that there could be the extended ribbon time.
It is, bro.
3 years in a row. 3 years.
The most number. Yeah, Tim Archie doing that. It was like facilities that are like out a long ways away, having difficulty getting a sample into the lab. But it's just kind of become the standard now if people are just doing 4-7 now. Some facilities are just doing 4-7. They're not doing any more than that. Always good Monday through Thursday, and that's it.
As long as they all pass.
As long as they all pass. They don't pass on the problem, yeah. They were screwed up on Sunday, and I think Monday through Thursday.
Mr. Thomas, you mentioned before
that science about those.
It's just risk. It's just like, how many people would step on a lot? Why do I get that?
I thought there was a requirement if you had a stupidity exceedance, you automatically have to start.
Start over?
Yeah, start sampling. But that might have been an internal policy. You have to.
Yeah.
So what means you get to practicality and getting canceled because not abilities don't result.
Right, right. It's turned into dodging the result.
Yeah.
Right. So is there a way that perhaps I don't know, looks like a feeling the sample used to be on a pre-planned day?
That's another way.
4 out of 7, but you have to plan the sample.
We're gonna have 3 days in a row, I think that's a big thing to do, 3 days in a row, just to go south.
So you can still make the original and if you have a support.
And you add the complexity of not producing recycled water for 3-4 days in a row. I mean, some of those discharge days. But then somebody can move their samples because they're wrong. If they're not delivering water, they don't have a sample.
It still needs to be
I guess you, right now, if you don't make your 4 out of 7, you have to watch the thing. There doesn't even seem to be any, you know, I guess, consequences or no one needs to state where we get back to you. Then they look at your report and, you know, right. So if you're not, I mean, as long as they hopefully stay with that, and as long as you can have a plan up that can you.
That's why I always thought that the turbidity trigger that would trigger you to resample, but that it's an internal.
Do we want to make that recommendation? Mm-hmm. If that's not, is there now?
I think the 4 of 7 is you're operating normal operation as long as there's no upset triggering additional monitoring. 4 out of 7 covers a normal operation.
You said,
yeah.
Well, you get the balance with practice or something.
Right.
Planning and for so you're not doing any more for that.
Okay.
but there is.
The other question is, would we apply this to all five classes or just eight?
I think, you know, at least I'm the belief from what we've seen in our own studies too, is that any large-scale plant needs some testing before virus people leave based on what we see. You know, California does, you get so much credit for this, that, for virus rule, and at least our experience is that they're not always meeting those perceived rules. And because the technology changes too, you know, the engineers are incredibly innovative all the time. You need some full-scale evaluation, at least from what we've seen. Laboratory-based evaluations don't always match full-scale evaluations. They tend to overestimate performance from what I've seen, largely because you've got a bunch of PhD engineers there who really know how to run it, and they're not running a real plant. So if you're going to go to drinking water, at least, my point is you need some type of monitoring just to for quality assurance. And, because the technology keeps changing all the time. At least, the studies we've been doing, you know, with you and that, I'm a little concerned that we haven't considered everything we can. Because California doesn't do it on a routine basis, so it's hard to assess what's going on.
But you're talking more about, like, process
validation or... I think we need some kind of performance, because I don't understand it. I don't understand why viruses are going through our own membranes in full-scale plants and getting very little removal sometimes. My guess is because there's so many, there's hundreds of units there, and one's failing, and I'm picking it up. I don't know, but...
And so you have some credit with it. Institutes monitoring validation, frequent development, so that you are achieving at least the minimum standards.
Okay. How well that benchmark against all the known pathogens is my concern. Maybe when you start to look at different. In other words, like most of the RO membranes are evaluated using bacteriophages. We have almost no data, except, believe it or not, the limited data we've been doing on naturally occurring viruses or human viruses. Say it's a different story. And largely because they use one bacteriophage, MS2 has been used dominantly. It's very hydrophobic. You get great removals. You do it with another phage, you get lousy removals.
Blood critics. This is a target critical question.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And I will point out that it's very conservative credit in the human because of those.
I'm questioning how can anyway.
When we get to the portable reuse,
need to consider that.
This is where we want people to use what we want, how conservative we want air to be.
There's some good stuff that we have to do.
Yeah, again, I've reviewed a lot of those reports. It's based on 20 to 8-year-old to 15-year-old data, and that's my big concern. Things have changed a lot. I'm not seeing, at least it stays, and we're not seeing the performance that's claimed in California by this problem. So,
are you talking about the
Woodford
or the
Danforth? No, the portable to portable reads.
That's
what I'm concerned about. Without monitoring, you really don't know.
Like, I think the advanced water treatment plant is a completely different animal.
Yeah,
than totally. The reuse next door.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Does everyone feel comfortable if I take this, chew on it, rework it, write some recommendations,
yeah,
and then give it back whatever you want to do? Okay. Is everybody cool? Good. Great. We got there first homework assignment. We beat the other group, so we're even better.
We do.
You do. Mm-hmm. Great.